Hebrews. Let me get the mic. Hebrews 10. These are like real familiar scriptures that I use a lot and other people use a lot. And in studying, there's a lot more to them than what sometimes we use them. We use verse 25 most of the time, not for sake of the sin of ourselves. And that's always a real important verse the preachers use. But I really want to back up to verse 23, 24, and 25 because they all tie together. And there's some words used here that maybe help us a whole lot more. We are living in a time where churches are declining. Christians are discouraged, and lost people are not getting saved. That's what we're living at. And we wonder, what will it take to change all of that and to change the direction of all of that and to get people back where they need to be? And I think to do that, you got to get church back where it used to be. And what was the benefit of a church? And what was the need of a church? See, we talked Sunday night a lot about worship. And I hope when you left here Sunday night, you understood that you don't have to be here to worship. But there's a reason to be here. And there's a purpose for this. If there was not a purpose for a church, Jesus would have never established one. Would y'all agree? And they wouldn't be scared off throughout America and the rest of the world. There is a purpose. Let me tell you what I believe the number one purpose of a church is. To win the lost. Amen. And as individuals, we can do so much. But as a group, we can do a lot. And there's something about what we call corporate worship. And that's when we gather together like this, and we all have a common bond to do something. In the book of Nehemiah, we read last Wednesday night how Nehemiah challenged them to rise up and build. The Bible said that they strengthened their hands for a good work. Tomorrow, we're trying to set out to put a roof on a building that we're trying to save. Whatever the mayor costs, you might as well figure that's about what labor costs. And we're trying to save that. And how we're trying to do that is by corporate work. All of us coming in here volunteering, And given time and doing that. That's how that's accomplished. I honestly believe when we leave here tomorrow, if we're not done, we're going to be real close to being done. And everyone will say, wow, that was great. But you know, that's the same attitude we've got to have when we're out here trying to win the lost in Danville. That same corporate mind. Now, we are going to disagree about things. There's always going to be things we don't see eye to eye on. But when it comes to seeing people saved, we should all agree on that. There should be no questions. We may differ on the color of metal, or the color of a pew, or should we have a van or a bus. We may always differ on that kind of stuff. But one thing we should never differ on, do we need to see people saved? And we'd all agree, yeah, we do. And the only way we'll ever accomplish that is by coming together for that common goal. So I believe that's the number one reason we have a church. Number two, I think the reason we have a church is for encouragement. If you come to church and you do not get encouraged, there's something wrong with that service. I think every service should be encouraging. Whether it's a Wednesday night prayer meeting or a Sunday with special singing, I think every service should be an encouraging service. And I think we've got to really pray that that's what we try to accomplish here. So with all those things in mind, let's go now to Hebrews 10. And I believe the writer of Hebrews is Paul. The Hebrews were having trouble accepting this new Christianity. Can you all imagine, look here and imagine this with me for a second. That your whole life, your granny, your grandpa, your grandpa, they worked the way. And the way they worked was temple worship, where they took sacrifices to a high priest and they shared that and they told the priest their sins And one time a year, the priest would go in on their behalf. Now, this is something they did every week. They set Saturday aside. Every Saturday set aside is a holy day. They had to eat certain foods. They had certain holidays throughout the year. And their whole life was based upon what they could eat, what they couldn't eat. And all of a sudden, somebody comes on the scene with a new way. It's called Christianity. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away all their kids. Let me ask y'all something. How easy would that be to accept? Real easy? It wasn't. And many of them did accept Jesus, but the problem was they still had the old faith. So then you have seven believers who are still trying to practice the old way. And so Paul's trying to get them to understand really what the new way was all about. And I want you to see this, and I hope this will make some sense to you tonight. This is what the Bible says in verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the perfection of our faith without wavering. How many of you, just out of curiosity, has made a profession of faith? How many of you don't have a clue what profession of faith means? Okay, that's great. I think everybody needs to know what the Bible says. Sometimes we read things and we put it out there and really people don't get it. So here's what a profession of faith is. A profession of faith is when you, with your mouth, have asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and asked Him to save you. That is a profession of faith. Now let me say this. If you want to go to heaven, you have had to make a profession of faith. Well, preacher, I got baptized. I want you to understand, that's great. But there's never been anybody baptized that went to heaven because they got baptized. The only way you can go to heaven is by a profession of faith. And so, you know, you can't eat meat and cheese together. You can't store the meat with the milk. We don't understand why, but that's what we can't do. That was a lot of us. That was, if you lived in 2011 and you're a Jew, you got to have the meat in one refrigerator and the milk in another refrigerator. And you cannot have a cheeseburger if you're a Jew in 2011 because it would not be considered kosher. Now, they didn't understand why, but that's what they were told to do, that's what they did. And Paul said, listen, let me tell you, the first thing you've got to keep in your mind, remember your profession of faith. Before you get all caught up in what you can't eat and what you can't do, what you can't wear, where you can't go, he said, number one, make sure that you have the profession of faith without wavering. So he that promise. Now, did Jesus promise if you make a profession that He would save you? He said, whosoever will help you. So, the deeper the profession of faith, there's nothing that can cause you to get cast out. Now, I'm not telling you you won't sin so much in your life that you may doubt. I won't tell you that you fall away from God so far back that you wonder. But this is what Paul said. You make sure you have the profession of faith without you. Don't you get caught up in the world. What did Jesus say? I talk to kids all the time. Jesus said, if you confess Him with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, what did He say? Thou shalt live. Now, the question I ask every people, can Jesus lie? No. So, if you are you saved? Yes. And you've got to always remember that. This man that we did the funeral with today, the only thing he could hold on to was when he was a little bit accepted Jesus as his Savior. What was really neat, when I was standing by the casket today, this lady came up and she was crying and she said, I want to tell you something. I was in that same Bible school when Randy went forward, and we both got saved the same day. We were best friends. Now I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people there today that needed to hear that. And when I was talking with Randy in the hospital and he was dying, that's the only thing he could go back to his life. When I was over there, that I asked Jesus Christ to save me at a vacation Bible school. And I'm telling you something. If you did it, it's a done deal.
Amen.
Now you may not look like you should have, and you may not have the other side. But I'll tell you what, the other side's waiting on you if you've made a profession of faith. And I think that's really important. They say, preacher, what does this have to do with us tonight? Because we're all saved. We may not all be saved tonight. Everybody here may not have all made professions of faith. So the first thing we want to do is make sure we all have. But let's see what the rest of our part is, okay? The Bible says this. He says, and let us consider one another. Let me ask y'all a question. This has never been interesting to me. I learned something this week. I like it when I learn something. I hope maybe you'll learn something with me. What's the word consider mean? Be thoughtful of exactly what I thought, and it's exactly what Webster says. To think about it. So, have you ever heard that scripture before, or anything about consider? How about this, consider the lilies? We sing that song, right? And so what he's saying, Miss Vicki, is think about the lilies. I don't think about lilies too much, you. That's what he's saying. I mean, Jesus is saying, consider the lilies. Think about the lilies. Well, I kept reading in my dictionary, and I found this. And think about it. Study it out. Study it out. How many of you studied lilies? All right. Another person says, consider the ravens. How many of you studied the ravens? You and I ain't done one thing we're supposed to do, right? I'm serious. Now put that in this context. He said, let us consider the ravens. Y'all ready? How many of you have sat and studied each other? Huh? Come on. How many of you sat and thought about other people? I'm talking about your one you're right here with. Y'all never sit and think about me and study me and like, wow, what's this guy up to? What's he thinking? Where's he from? Y'all study. Now, I think this will happen with verse 25. Because really 25 is all those preachers pick on. But I'm trying to help us all tonight. The first thing the Bible says we need to do is consider one another. Alright, most of us go to church with each other and don't have a clue who we go to church with. We have kind of put people together, well, they belong to this and they belong to that one. A lot of people don't know who goes to church. Patricia, today show, she didn't know who goes to church. Is that right? I'm not picking on you, I mean, it's true. Everybody say this there. That's your daughter? Yeah. Well, she don't usually see us as a herd. You know, we kind of in a herd and we're not done, and she's usually not part of that herd, and they don't put it all together. But how we figure each other out is we study each other. Now, you got to be careful right here. Let's read the rest of the verse. It says, "Rebel, consider one another." I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you can kind of look at me and let me know that you've done this. How many of you ever considered somebody and figured out their faults? Y'all just nod a little bit. Y'all, I know you're but we got a lot of people in the back of this building. The group that rides it in the right lane that doesn't have UNC Baptist on it, it's got a gray door in the back, that bunch is messed up. Now I live with them. And they got a lot of thoughts. And some of the others have got some thoughts. Right? But that's not what it's going to consider. We can say here all But that is not what God tells the people to do. He said, let us consider or study to prevent wrath to one another. Here's what you've got to learn to do. In this day and time in which we live, these last days, these perilous times, we've got to learn how we can show love to people who need to be shown love to. Does that make sense? There's not a person in here today who does not need to be shown love to. And some people have been left and the only way you're going to know is if you're studying today and you're thinking about that. Now, most of us leave church and we never give it a second thought about anything else with anybody until that prayer chain comes around. Am I right? Now, prayer chain comes around. Oh, by the way, tonight, Dionica, uncle passed away in Texas today. And she wants that mentioned tonight in a prayer request. And to make sure y'all praying for them. Some of them are going to have to go to Texas for this funeral. And it may get tough. Dionica's got two little children. But somebody's going to have to take her parents out there so her dad can be where her brother's at. So pray for that situation. But we don't think about those things. I found out one thing about Dionica Asbury today until I got the phone call. Had you all? When we start considering one another to the point that we think about them and we study them and we're sitting there in church and thinking, you know what? When the church is over, I'm going to go and talk to her because I think she needs somebody to talk to her. I'm going to call so-and-so because she just might need a phone call. I believe this is the downfall of most churches today. Now listen, I know as well as you all do, we've all got 1,000 things going on in our lives. We do. But that's why it's a corporate thing. If all of us are involved in this, then more likely we're going to cover every base. Just like putting a roof on here. If me, Joseph, and Clint show up tomorrow to put a roof on here, I'm going to pretty much sure by Sunday it's still not going to be on. I could not guarantee that. We'll give it a great try. But you know what? You bring 15 people in here, it's going to make all the difference in the world. Does this make sense? Think about the word provoke. Think about the word consider. You and I have got to provoke means to put it to action. See, we use the word provoke all the negative word, Greg. He provoked me. But the Bible's talking about provoking for good. That means to act toward good. See, it's not up to somebody to tell you that you need to send somebody a card. It's up to you by considering. Thinking about them, studying about them. How many of you ever had that happen to you? You know, somebody's come across your mind and thought, you know what, I'll call them. That's when you're starting to consider. And Paul says, now why do you think this is so important? Because these people are so caught up in other stuff. You know what the other stuff causes? Contention. You don't have to do it tonight. Can you see somebody? You can't have cheese on your burger. I've seen so much. Right? Amen. How'd I get from that to that? Come try to bring it home to us. We all think of stuff. And we all think. And we all think. But here's what Paul says. Don't do that. Because if you're thinking about provoking love and good works to people, then you're not going to be tearing down people. Amen. And you'll be encouraging people. Amen. And I'm going to tell y'all a secret. You may be as prideful as can be, but there's not a person in this building tonight who don't need encouraged. Amen. From the preacher all the way down. Encouragement is really important. And Paul says, you know what you'll find out? When you're thinking about other people, you don't think about yourself and your own problems. One of the things that I've learned this summer, when I found out about this cancer thing, is I told Michelle, I said, I've got to stay busy. Because if I sit around and think about it, every time I have a pain, I think it's the cancer. She'll tell you. I have a pain sometimes, I say, you think that's the cancer? But you know what? If I'm busy, I don't think about it. If I'm doing things, if I'm helping in funerals or I'm visiting hospitals and I'm doing those things, I don't think about what's going on with me. And that's what Paul's trying to get us to do, because everybody is needing courage. Then he said this, now your verse. Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now here's the deal. Not that the preacher thinks it's a good idea for you to go to church. I want you to change your thinking with that. God thinks it's a good idea, and here's why. Because when you're sitting here, you can study each other. That makes good sense, don't it? You don't have to know Rick and Hebrew to figure that out. If you're sitting right in church tonight, and you're sitting over here, and you're seeing Brother John over here, and you, who's missing with Brother John? Y'all notice that? Y'all study that? John got that strong. He said, "It worked great. It's going on." But I thought he was all better. And sometimes you got to consider, you know, maybe it's an encouragement. Maybe it's it. I don't know. But you know what? You wouldn't know that if you hadn't been here tonight. Makes sense. He said, believe you what he said, the Lord's wanting us to get together so we can look around and see people? Yep, that's what I'm telling you tonight. That's exactly right. We're here, we know we talk about worship Sunday night. We know how to do that. That's between you and God. And we're fixing to have a time for you to worship Him at an altar or wherever you need to. But right now, I want you to understand that when we come here together, it's to consider one another to see what the needs are and maybe the thing, you know, maybe the truck. Who's missing with Shannon? Raise your hand, Shannon. Somebody know who Shannon is. Who's missing? Y'all considered that? Thought about it? He's probably working. You know what? That'd be a good one to think about tonight. Pray for. He's out there walking up the cars. He's got two little girls here. He's walking up strange cars. He deals with things that probably scare his wife to death and make his daughters worry. But you know what? If you're considering to provoke love to Shannon, then you can pray for what's missing tonight. Who knows Jeff? Who's anybody missing? Alright, see? You know that. Now, how did you know that if you weren't here? Right? Let us consider one another. To provoke us to love and good work, not forsake the sin of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting is simple, it's encouraging. Encouraging one another. Now y'all say the rest of it for me, because I think this is the clincher, and we're done. Alright, what day? The day that Jesus comes back. Now, can I ask you honestly tonight, do you think He's coming back?
Yes, amen.
Do you think it's closer than it's ever been?
Yes.
Now, He said, even the more you see the day approaching. So, if you've been an encourager to some degree to this point, what the Bible's saying, even more, you need to be an encourager now as this day gets closer. Because as the day gets closer, more people get discouraged and more people will quit in church. You think, as the day got closer, that the buildings will be full. That's not what's happening. As the days get closer, more people are getting more doubts. One of the ladies today has, it's kind of like, she's mad at God because this guy died. Instead of realizing you need to get your life right, you need to make sure you're saved because this could happen to you at any time, her attitude is, I'm mad at God now, and I don't even want anything to do with church. See, as these days get closer and closer, more and more people are going to find themselves going away from church. But I'm telling you what God is saying. We need to be here more and more and more, and the reason we need to be here so we can see who's not here, and we can try to encourage them who ain't here to get back here, because we need to be here in the last days. I'm confused, ain't you? It all comes down to where we need to be. Here. So we can consider and to provoke one another to love and good works. So I pray tonight that as a church, as the Lord grows us, and I think we're growing in a lot of ways, I think we're growing, right now I see a church growing more in a spiritual way than I have in a number of ways. We're still getting visitors, but I look here on a Wednesday night crowd, and I realize that 100 kids just left, and there's probably 70, 80 people still here. And that tells me that we've had 180 some people at Little Unity Baptist Church tonight. And some churches are barely having church on Wednesday night. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing faithfulness out of you. I'm seeing you grow. And I'm seeing some of you get more involved. And that's what we've got to have in these last days.
Right.
And therefore, we can go out here and try to win more people to Jesus. But maybe tonight, you don't have that profession of faith. I'm so glad Paul put that in there. Because without a profession of faith, you can never get to heaven.
Amen.
A lot of people think they can go because they're Baptist, Methodist, Nazarene, Assembly. I'm going to tell you what. There's been nobody got to heaven because of that. It's because of a profession of faith. If you've never asked Jesus to save you, preacher, I prayed with the preacher one time. Listen, you can pray with the preacher 1,000 times. But if you haven't asked Jesus yourself, you've never been saved. It's something you have to do. So let's stand together and pray.